We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? You probably know by now, but Ball is sponsoring us across the DNVR network. Ball as in the all-new Ball Arena, as in the aerospace technology company, as in the world's largest aluminum can and packaging manufacturer. They have been leading global sustainability efforts for decades, and they are currently hiring right here in Golden, Colorado. You can check out hashtag work at Ball online. And to apply for a position at their aluminum can plant, text Golden to 77222 or go to jobs.ball.com and search for Golden. That's jobs.ball.com and search for Golden. Or like I said, you can simply text Golden to 77222. They are a great place to work. Highly recommend checking them out today.
Nobody out. 3-2 on Charlotte.
Jokic gets it across the timeline. Gets a high pick and pop with Murray.
Lindsay breaking through.
Taken away by Nathan MacKinnon. 2-on-2 with Landeskog.
He has done it again. Vaughn Miller, ladies and gentlemen.
Dump two hands. Nikola Jokic.
Save me by Grubauer with the left pad. Oh, goodness gracious me.
Take a good look. You won't see it for long. Two-run home run. Trevor Story.
Lock. End zone. Touchdown. Two for Sutton.
Got it! Oh, man! That's from way downtown! And the blue arrow is flying at Pepsi Center.
Score! It's too good to be true, but believe it! Oh, hail, Kale!
Welcome into the Denver Sports Podcast presented by the one and only Breckenridge Brewery. You guys know how much we love Breck Brews. Plus, they're good company. Hard seltzers are phenomenal. Highly recommend it. We had the grand opening 2.0 at the bar, and those things were flying off the shelves. Everyone had some fun drinking some Breck Brews. I'm your host, Allie Monroy. With me today, I've got Rudo, Andre Simone, Michaela Perkins, and Brendan Vogt.
Whoa, what?
Do I look like D-line today?
Perfect timing.
But younger.
Younger D-line.
Younger
How D-line. Does that feel, Vogt?
Great look.
Well, it's a low bar.
Yeah.
I'm going to say.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
He's the oldest person that I know, including my grandparents.
It is a little dark, I will say that, but you know, it's okay.
I'll work it out. I'm all scrambled today.
All right, guys. Well, you guys probably noticed that we are now doing the Denver Sports Podcast on Thursdays or other days besides Fridays. Unfortunately, Fridays are just too packed at the DNVR bar. We've got so many new things going on, plus the new show online with D-Line that just took my time slot. They were just like, bye, the show's going to be better. So it's fantastic. Highly recommend it. But that's why we are probably going to stick to Thursdays from now on until maybe the season starts, or we'll see. But just be sure to check this out. Always, we are going to be talking about kind of what's been going on in the Denver sports world. There's a lot. We have NBA, NHL, MLB, free agencies. The draft happened for the Nuggets. We also have training camp. So there is a lot going on, and we'll finish off the day talking about the best nicknames in Denver sports. But we're just going to jump right into Avs free agency, Rudo. The Avs and Avs fans had to say goodbye to Philip Grubauer, but in replacement, they got Darcy Kemper. How are you feeling about that move?
Yeah, so it's an interesting move. Like, obviously, there's a lot of emotional connection to Grubauer, but ultimately, $5.9 million over 6 years was a pretty steep price for him as a goaltender. And the Kemper move also saw mixed reaction. It was a steep price. The Avs did have to give up essentially two picks. The third one, we'll see if it the third rounder, we'll see if it actually goes through, depending on if the Avs win the cup or not. But they also gave up Connor Timmins, you know, a pretty liked defensive prospect. But I will say, and I'm sure Michaela can agree or disagree with me here as the resident Arizona expert, I think Kemper, if healthy, has the ability to be a better goaltender than Philip Grubauer. So he could be the piece and goal for the Avs that gets the job done.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think the key word or the key phrase there was if healthy. You know, obviously Kemper's had some injury issues in the past. You know, the past two seasons have been a little rough injury-wise. But, you know, when the acquisition went down and they signed Kemper, I was kind of confused by the reaction on Twitter, by the negative reaction specifically, because, you know, I got to watch him play in Arizona, and he was really good. Like, he stole that playoff game from the Avs when they were playing the Coyotes 2 seasons ago. I mean, he was the entire reason that the Coyotes won that game. If it weren't for him, you know, the Avs would have won. So I was really confused by the negative reaction, just because he is a really good goaltender. And obviously, you know, if healthy is the key here, but if he can stay healthy, I think he's better than Grubauer. And I think he can be the goalie that the Avs need to carry them to a cup.
I'm really excited to see Kemper. He is a good goalie. Obviously, Philip Grubauer did a lot of great things here in Colorado, but to see Kemper with this Avs defense, that's going to be exciting, because this Avs defense is freaking phenomenal and can make some goalies' jobs a little easier with how well they play. So I'm really excited to see that.
Yeah, it's always one of those things, like, anytime you get a new goaltender, it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period where they get used to playing with the defense that's in front of them. But if the Avs are giving up 20 shots a night like they were last year, it makes any goaltender's life a lot easier, certainly than what Kemper has gone through in Arizona for a bit as well. So,
and he won't be playing as much. Like, the goal will be that he won't be playing as much as Philip Grubauer had to play, because Pavel Francouz will be there, and it won't be just like all of these games relying just on one goaltender, really, that they trust.
Yep, and let's be real. You never want to say making the playoffs is a given, but certainly the Avs' goals do not
really involve anything in the regular season.
I feel like you're this close to saying it.
I want to say it, but I don't want to say it.
Well, and like, Kemper still looked pretty decent while he was in Arizona, but his skill and his own talent. Like, imagine if he can look still that decent while playing, you know, behind probably arguably one of the worst hockey teams in the NHL. Yeah. Imagine how amazing he's going to look behind an incredible team in Colorado with all of the assets that the Avs have.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot easier to win hockey games when your forwards actually score, so.
Yep. Well, speaking of forwards, big thing that happened, which everyone was really nervous about. AJ was trying to trick us in our company Slack.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing.
The Avs got the deal done, and they signed Gabriel Landeskog. People were sweating it. I feel like the last The Denver Sports Podcast we did, I think it was with you, Rudo, and you're like, I really I don't know. I don't know if this is going to happen. It got done. Thank goodness the three-headed monster is still intact for the upcoming years until McKinnon has to – we have to deal with McKinnon's contract.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too worried about that one either. But, yeah, there were 15 minutes left until Landy officially became a free agent when that deal got signed. So – they took their time.
Took their sweet time. It was after a DNVR golf league. We were all at the bar. I think trivia was happening. And all of a sudden, I look down at my phone and I see the tweets. And I'm like, Gabriel Landeskog is back. And everyone in the bar is like, oh my God. And it was just a dope feeling to be like at a Denver sports bar, have Denver sports fans react to news like that, which like you could have been at another bar in the city and people would be like, is this girl crazy? What's going on here? Like, why is she yelling at the bar? They finally got it done, though. That was very exciting.
Yep. And they got him for 8 years, $7 million. The end of that contract is the futures problem. No reason to think about it right now. For now, the captain is back. He's going to help them hopefully go win a Stanley Cup. And whenever his career is said and done, his number is likely going into the rafters of Ball Arena. So, win-win, a big emotional boost compared to the down of losing Grubauer. So
yeah,
help make up for it a little bit.
Rudo, what were a few other moves the Avs did that you really liked?
So I really liked the Ryan Murray move. They went out. Yeah. Obviously, they lost Timmins in the Kemper trade. So Murray helped shore up their defense, their top 6D. Again, you're going to hear this word a lot when it comes to the Avalanche. Assuming health, they have one of the best defenses in the league. So if EJ and Murray can stay healthy, they're extremely strong. After that, the depth of, we'll see what decisions they want to make. But and then they added Darren Helm on the forward side. Not going to be a major impact player, but he will replace Pierre-Edouard Belmar, essentially one-to-one for them. Shouldn't be, he'll PK, he'll give you 15 points a season. Nice little piece to get the job done depth for them.
Yeah, they're really gambling on a few more veterans and a little more injuries. Hopefully that that medical staff's ready.
I mean, you know, it is interesting, right? Because their acquisitions were definitely veteran heavy and
right,
and guys that maybe can't stay healthy, but they're also going to be making big bets on one Alex Newhook. Right now, the role expected right for him is to replace Brandon Saad on the second line. So there's an argument on whether their forward core is better or not coming into this season, and it's going to come down to Newhook. If he lives up to expectations, the forward core will be better. If he doesn't, the Avs are going to have to scramble a little bit. And then, obviously, Bowen Byram on the defensive side. Yeah. There's no keeping him out of the lineup anymore. He's going to play next year. So we'll have to wait and see what the kids can do to help round out the roster.
Let's wrap up this Avs talk with some expansion draft, NHL draft. So the Avs lost Jonas Donskoy to the expansion draft to Seattle. He'll definitely be missed. I know last season, mixed feelings on Donskoy, but like he was just one of those guys that like you could rely on the ice. I guess most of the time, maybe some people would argue with that one.
Look, when that dude was hot, he was El Fuego, like he had two speeds on and off.
Yeah.
and when he's on, you just give him the puck and get out of the way, basically. But a piece that the Avs do have to figure out how to replace. They have a couple of options internally. Maybe they want to give Martin Kaut a try. Maybe they want to go with Mikhail Maltsev, who they got in the Ryan Graves trade. We'll see. They could just throw JT Compher there as well. That's one of those ones where it's, you have to wait and see until the season starts, and they probably will just lean on whoever's hot to replace that spot. So,
and then they selected, well, can you say it? I haven't heard the name yet.
Oscar Olausson.
Oscar Olausson. Michaela did the DSR for that one. So when you have to do the Daily Sports Report, you like have to memorize these names. Like it forces you to.
I was breaking it. I was like, I'm going to mess this up so bad.
Olausson. Yeah?
Olausson.
Oh, Olausson.
Olausson.
Yep. It's like Olofsson, but with a U.
How do you feel about that pick? It was a late pick, obviously.
It's a late first, so
28th pick.
You're not getting a superstar. It's a safe pick. I think it's another one of these high floor, low ceiling picks. Personally, didn't love it, but it's one of those dudes who he has a dozen different routes to the NHL, and he'll find a way to be an effective player. So, for a team that is ideally 2-3 years from now, you know, trying to maintain a window and keep replenishing with young kids, it makes a lot of sense.
All right, let's jump into the Rockies. Don't viewership. Don't go down. Don't go down. We're going to talk about it for a little bit.
Yeah.
One person was like, bye. No,
tune in because Michaela's about to go off.
Yeah. So Mac, please
warm up for this one.
Stretch it out. Get ready for this. We don't have Drew or Patrick on the show today. Michaela is representing the Rockies. And so we're going to get her thoughts on, as I tweeted, free agency moves or lack thereof. Mac, what happened in your eyes with the Rockies with this free agency time?
Well, nothing happened, first and foremost. Let's just get that straight. They didn't do anything. They did what the classic Colorado Rockies do, and they sat on their hands and provided no clear direction for the organization at all whatsoever. I'm pretty sure Bill Schmidt was sleeping through the trade deadline, just took like a nice like week-long nap. It's so frustrating. I mean, all they did was trade Michael Givens, who was a bullpen arm, who was probably one of their most reliable relievers, which is really scary to say because the Rockies bullpen is garbage. So I guess the most reliable out of that bullpen isn't the best thing to be. And then they also got back another like minor league pitcher in Austin who they have had on their roster and traded, and this guy has been on 6 different teams in this season alone, and I just don't understand the Colorado Rockies or their front office or what they're doing. They just seem to have absolute no direction, and I guess it makes sense because they also have no leadership. Their front office is non-existent. Half of the people in the front office are interim. They have no analytics department, so there's no captain of the ship, and the ship is sinking very quickly, and it's really unfortunate because, you know, they have a lot of assets that they could have moved. Trevor Story, John Gray, they're all set to be free agents at the end of this year. Michael Givens, before they traded him, is set to be a free agent. CJ Cron, another guy that they could have gotten something in return for, that's going to be a free agent at the end of this year. And they just did nothing. And it's really frustrating because we just don't have a direction for this team. And it's just like, what is the plan now? You know, they have no direction, they have no plan, and I just don't know what comes next for this team. I think, in my opinion, it would have been better to move the assets, to trade Story and get something in return, because I mean, they're going to make him a qualifying offer at the end of this year, and I guarantee you he's going to decline it. And yeah. So when he declines that qualifying offer, we get compensation in the draft. And, you know, I don't really trust anybody in the front office to draft somebody that, I mean, and even if they do, you know, hit on that draft pick, it's going to be 4 or 5 years before we even see them up in the majors. So, you know, I have no idea what they're doing. I really don't. I don't know if they're rebuilding or retooling or whatever they want to call it. You know, John Gray is kind of a little different case. I'm actually happy that they kept him because, you know, the hardest thing to do in Colorado Rocky for the Colorado Rockies is to find good pitching, like good starting pitching. And, you know, Gray obviously came up through the system. So he's a homegrown type of guy, and he is really great at, figuring out how to pitch well at Coors Field, which is really challenging. So I was always kind of hoping that the Rockies would keep him and keep that those 4 pitchers in their starting rotation that they have right now in place, because I think it's going to be a lot easier to rebuild quicker with those starting pitchers that they have. But I mean, it's just a disaster. It is a dumpster
fire. There was reports that the Rockies were off reports. Want to make that sure. But there was reports that the Rockies were offered a top 5 prospect for Trevor Story, like literally got nothing, and he's just gonna leave. Yeah. And like you said, all you get is like compensation in the draft, which that's not what this Rockies organization needs at this moment. They need actually things to be moving and going in the right direction for this fan base to stick around and feel like they're watching something that's worth it.
I mean,
the other side of it too is they don't have a farm system. Their farm system is one of the worst in baseball. So when you're in a position to trade people like Trevor Story to hopefully stock up that farm system a little bit more and they don't do it, it's like, what is going on? You guys are literally incompetent. Like, it is just incompetency. I don't understand it. I genuinely do not get it. Sorry, Rudo. I know I keep.
No. Go off. I wanted to just bring up the point of look at the difference in reactions between Gray and Story. Like, before the deadline, Gray was very adamant about wanting to be here. Yeah. And after the deadline, Story was like, I am not happy about this.
Yeah.
I thought we had an arrangement here.
What's going on? Why am I still here?
I mean, which is, again, why I'm not as upset that they kept Gray. Because if, you know, John Gray wants to pitch here, by all means, like, like, please pitch here. We don't, you know, we don't have a lot going for us right now besides our starting rotation. And he is a huge piece of that rotation. Yeah. So, you know, if he wants to stay here for the right price, like, by all means, I'm happy with that. But, you know, I kind of mentioned it. If the Rockies did have a chance to get a top five prospect in exchange for Trevor Story and they didn't take it, that's infuriating, especially considering they didn't even get a top 10 prospect for Nolan Arenado. So I'm just confused as to what the front office is doing. I don't understand it. It's a mess. It is a genuine, like, it's a dumpster fire. It's so bad.
Well, and the frustration is after the Nolan trade, you thought at least they've picked the lane. But if you don't go full blown into rebuild mode and truly commit to that route, then you're just going to be left to, I mean, I don't even know. I mean, it's exactly what Mac described, essentially try to win 68 games and fill out Coors as much as you can, which maybe as a business model works just fine. But as fans who'd like to see some growth from a franchise.
They have other blossoming stars, though, don't they? Wouldn't it have been a perfect transition to move into an area of Rymack and Tapia as the faces of the franchise, with Gray as well, really, in the pitching staff? But instead, you're left with this weird half season of Story before he just up and leaves.
And that's what I said at the beginning of this, too, is the last thing that I want to see is the Rockies do a half foot in, half out type of thing. Like, either go all in and try to figure out how to make the best out of the situation that we have and get everybody into, like, a deal and whatever it is, whatever all in looks like to you, go all in. Or, you know, go all in with a fire sale, like, get rid of everybody, tear the whole thing down, start over. But don't try to do this weird, like, retooling instead of rebuilding, where they try to make pieces work that aren't really working. I'm so frustrated with, like, the lack of direction that this organization has. And it feels to me like a very bleak situation that isn't going to improve anytime soon, unless we can really nail the front office and the front office hires that they have, like the decisions they have to make in terms of who they're going to have in the front office for hopefully the foreseeable future. I'm over it.
I think to some extent, just observing from the outside, it's not unfair to say that what exactly the frustrations and things that Mac is seeing is what the rest of the MLB is seeing. And I think with star players like Nolan Arenado, like Trevor Story, you're getting lowballed. You're getting treated like, oh, well, you know, their stats weren't good in a nonsense 2020 season that only Dodgers fans will care about, where you played 60 games, like a sample size that doesn't even matter in baseball senses, and you're going off maybe a slow start this year, you know, and you're just getting lowballed. It's got a massive trickle-down effect of not being able to kind of maximize your margins, which for the Colorado Rockies are already, like, as slim as they can get.
Mac, I have a question for you. We have Drew here in the comments. Drew is watching the baseball game as well. But Drew's saying, again, FYI, they're saying that they're going to buy big bats in free agency this year to build around the pitching, aiming for quick turnaround rather than the long rebuild, which, of course, most people think is pretty far-fetched. So, Mac, my question for you is, would you rather the Rockies admit they have to rebuild and sell and create a dumpster fire of, like, figuring out starting from the bottom? Or would you rather this, like, trying to get random pieces in, seeing if this is going to work, and it doesn't, okay, then try and get another guy in here? Which one would you prefer as, like, a fan of the Colorado Rockies?
I think that I would prefer them to commit to a rebuild and tear everything down and start over, because we still have O'Dowd's people, and we still have Brightich's people stuck in this system that have no potential, no future. They have had years to build a competitive team, and they haven't. Like, that's just the fact. Like, the Rockies have had a glimpse of competitiveness in the 17, 18 years, but besides that, it's been a mess, a complete mess. And so I really want them to make the right choice for the next general manager and whoever they're going to bring into this front office, and let them restart and just burn everything from the past to the ground and just try their best to completely rebuild a competitive baseball team from that point forward. And, you know, when you look at previous Rockies quick fixes, like the time that they spent $118 million on a bullpen that was also garbage, like, I don't trust anything that involves the Rockies and a quick fix. They've never been competitive in free agency. They have never been able to execute a quick fix well. I just don't think that, you know, the Rockies and a quick fix is synonymous, because they have had a chance to put pieces around the best third baseman in baseball, the best, you know, third baseman and shortstop combo, and they haven't. They didn't. They have never been competitive in free agency. And so I just don't see a way that that is going to ever be successful. And if they can nail the front office hires and they can start over and build from the ground up, I think that's the only way to really do it. Because if you can't win with Nolan Arenado on your team, I don't know what to tell you. You're not going to be competitive for a while. And I just don't trust the Rockies to ever make a quick fix, because they've tried it in the past and it hasn't worked. They had the best third baseman in baseball on their roster and they did nothing to help him. It's just, it's a mess.
I'm not a hardcore fan or anything, but correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't the bullpen more of an issue than the hitting right now for this team?
It's both. They're both really bad.
Okay.
The Rockies at home are great. The Rockies can smash the ball when they're at home. And when they're on the road, it's a completely different story, which, I mean, there's a couple factors that play into that. But, you know, you always fix, you know, the offensive stuff before you try to fix the bullpen, because the bullpen is like a goalie in hockey. Like, it's a hit or miss. Like you really never want to do what the Rockies did a couple years ago and invest $118 million in your bullpen just for it to be complete garbage. So, you know, there's a lot of things working against the Rockies right now, but, you know, if they say that they're going to commit to free agency and bringing in some big bats, they have the money to do that. You know, they are one of the teams in Major League Baseball right now that has the lowest in payroll. So they've got, you know, money to do that, especially if, you know, Dick Monfort wants to invest in the roster. He can do that, and they've got money to do it, but I'm scared if that's what they're going to do.
I mean, and we've seen this sort of thing in other sports in Denver. I mean, we've talked about it on this podcast before a few years ago with John Elway not wanting to just admit that the team needed to rebuild. So they went and spent money on a guy like Case Keenum, on Joe Flacco, on all of these pieces to try and make a quick fix happen. And sometimes you just really got to just rebuild it and go from there.
I think they need to tear it down, burn it down, and start over. And hopefully the new general manager has a better baseball mind and can do better than Brightich did, because
We have some people in the comments saying that they're still down to start a GoFundMe and see if the city can own the Rockies. And then we have people saying, but what about the DNVR Yacht Fund? Rudo, how are you feeling? Would you give up some of the yacht fund to help out the people in the Rockies?
All right. Coors Field is way better than a yacht. All right. I would take Coors Field over a yacht immediately.
AJ's really stuck on this yacht idea.
I could just live at Coors Field. That'd be fine.
I wouldn't have pegged AJ for a yacht, big yacht guy, but
he says that he wants a yacht and just park it in the parking lot of the DMVR bar. So we have people who donate literally every day on the DNVR Avalanche podcast to the Yacht Fund. Shout out Sasha, who's normally the person who does it.
Maybe like $500 into our $22 million request for a yacht.
Incredible. The other thing too is, you know, money does talk ultimately, but the Rockies now have to spend their way through the other side of a reputation, which is, you know, they've had some competitive teams in the last, you know, 10, 15 years for sure. But as of late, I cannot imagine looking at that organization and thinking, oh, sign me up for the centerpiece role I would like to be the face of the Rockies. I think it's going to have to, I would imagine it takes quite a lot of money. I don't know if guys are, I don't think anyone's going to take any discounts to come to Colorado at this point. So there are just a lot of hurdles between them and that sort of idealistic quick fix. So,
and I want to say, we would like that to happen. We would like the Rockies to be a fun, competitive team. Like, sure, like attendance at Coors Field really hasn't suffered, and that's because, like Rudo said, he could live there. It's Coors Field.
It never will. They could play a peewee team, and people would show up to Coors Field and for every day because it's a great place to get a drink. Like,
it's a great place to get a drink, and you know, baseball is on as well, so it's just a fun summer thing to do. But like, it would be the absolute best for everyone if the team was just more competitive and it brought more Rockies fans than opposing fans.
I think that's why the next general manager hire is so crucial, because if it's
you're right muted manager, Andre.
That explains why I haven't heard from him.
That's a problem with the quick fix right there, though, right? Is you're going to be more competitive. You'll make fans happy. You'll increase attendance, and you'll compete for the second wild card. That might sound good in the depths that we are in now, but I think why people like Mac are so adamant of a ground-up rebuild is if you actually want to compete with the Padres and Dodgers, you actually want to win a division title, or God forbid, a pennant and make it into another World Series, you're going to have to do a little more than sign the 4 or 5 guys willing to pad their stats to play at Coors Field and figure it out. We'll have some fun, quick fix. We'll win 80 games and we might make that second wild card.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's the other thing the Rockies have going against them is we have to remember who's in their division. They've got the Dodgers and the Padres in their division. And in my opinion, no quick fix is ever going to be able to compete with the roster that the Padres and the Dodgers have locked in for the next 4 to 5 years. I mean, let's say that the Rockies do a quick fix, right? And they can somehow manage some powerhouse batters and maybe some okay relievers and another like really good pitcher to come to play at Colorado, right? That's never going to be able to compete with who the Dodgers and the Padres both have on their rosters. Both the Padres and the Dodgers have arguably the best rotations in all of baseball. So, you know, if let's say by some miracle, you know, the Rockies can bandage up the sinking ship that is the Colorado Rockies and make it to a wild card game, that's great. They're going to get eliminated right away. So it's what is more important to this organization, you know, being competitive.
Attendance.
Well, yes. Okay. Yeah. Attendance is definitely the most important thing. But aside from attendance, you know, are they just going to be mildly competitive, win 80 to 90 games and get eliminated the first round of the playoffs? And that's what their definition of success is. If they want to be competitive and they want a real chance at winning the pennant, they have to do what the Dodgers and the Padres did and build from the ground up. The reason that the Padres and the Dodgers were so successful is because half of their roster came from their farm system. Obviously, you know, the Dodgers have no limit to spend on whatever, whoever they want. So, you know, we're fighting against that. And obviously that's going to help them. But, you know, so many of the guys on both of those rosters are homegrown guys from their system. And, you know, their success is built on that. And we don't have anything like that.
That's the fear, right? Like, even if you gave Monfort a $2 billion TV deal, you're afraid he'll choose the wrong people to build the organization.
Yeah. It's just, it's not like it's, there's so much working against them that I just don't ever see how a quick fix or signing big free agents are ever going to help them long-term. Like, it might help them win 80 to 90 games in a season and be competitive and maybe make it to a wild card game. But this team has a long, long, long way to go before they have sustained success.
Sure. Got $2 billion TV deal. Yeah. It is virtually impossible to wrap my mind around.
$2 billion? Oh my God.
I'm just going to go ask the Dodgers for a yacht. Forget the yacht fund. Yeah,
exactly. All this said, I'm going to get so hyped the first big name free agent they sign.
Sure.
I couldn't care less.
Yeah. I don't think anyone here is like an enemy of competitiveness or trying. I think Max articulated this really well, which is like, look, it's a big gap to close with just, you know, a very
class of the NL. Yeah.
Yeah, just, but it's still possible. Don't worry, we'll spend. So
look at the Rays. You know, look at other small market teams that have
figured out ways
to be competitive. The Rays made it to the freaking World Series last year, and they would be considered, you know, a team very similar to the Rockies. So it's just going to be, I just think they need to burn it all down and build up from the ground, because it's going to be a while.
Step one, like a permanent, like choice A front office.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we have some idea of who is are the long-term decision makers here and people you feel comfortable with. I think you've made some killer points, Mac.
Totally. And I feel like something that we've talked about on this podcast from the start is the fan base, like, has every right to be upset with what's going on with this organization. But if they still want to go to games and enjoy baseball at Coors Field, which the Rockies are still making games fun when they're at home, then you should be able to do both. And I know that some people feel like that's counterintuitive because you're giving money to the Monfords. But, like, if you love baseball and you're so passionate, you're frustrated at what's happening, but you love it, like, let fans just be fans. I feel like that's just, like, if you want to go, you want to go. If you want to be pissed off, be pissed off. But, like, I just see that still so much on social media right now with Rockies fans being, like, mad at other fans for wanting to go watch their team. Like,
Right. There's still fans of the baseball team.
Baseball is great to watch. Even if the Rockies suck, the sport's still wonderful.
All right. Well, that was a great discussion. We actually gained viewers, so thanks, Mac. Great job. let me jump into a quick DraftKings read. My Wi-Fi just says that it's very bad. Is it bad for you guys?
You're back now.
You're back.
Kind of.
You're good.
Maybe, Dre, you can tell the good people about DraftKings Sportsbook.
Yeah, no, number one in all the land by a significant margin now. I compared it to the way Katie Ledecky laps her competitors. That's how far ahead the DraftKings Sportsbook is to all other sportsbooks. And, you know, just great deals all around. Right now, you sign up $1, you win 100. I think that's going on for UFC and that's going on for Olympics.
Yep.
It's free money. Where else are you getting a free $100? Not many places I know of, but DraftKings Sportsbook, they're doing it. And, you know, use code DNVR. They'll match your deposit if you're a first user up to $1,000. And can you do the disclaimer, Allie?
Yes, I can. So right now, the main offer that you can jump in on is place any pre-event wager of $1 to be eligible to cash $100 in free credits if America wins any medal this year. They've already won a ton. Free money, like Andre said. Just go get in on it. Use that code DNVR. For a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. I need Strava Craft Coffee in my life. I have to get some orders in. I just moved, so I had to stop my subscription. Guys, check out their subscription service. It's honestly so great. You can place an order and you can get coffee delivered straight to your door every 2, 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whenever you think you're going to run out of coffee. That way you never run out of coffee and you always have that right back. Vo is a huge fan of Strava Craft Coffee as well.
Big fan. Also, unprompted today in the DNVR Nuggets show, the DNBA show even, someone just commented, yo, Strava's dope. We weren't even doing a read. So shout out that person. Your check's in the mail. Strava's the best. I'm an anxious mess, you guys. I don't know if you can tell, but Strava really helps me out.
It calms down any jitters. Like, if you still need caffeine, Drew has said this all the time. He still needs caffeine, but it can cause even more anxiety, those jitters. Strava Craft Coffee with their CBD-infused decaf coffee as well. All of that helps it out. And they're one of our favorite partners. They've been with us for literally 5 years now. They're the best. Go check them out. As always, supporting our partners helps support us. And use that promo code DMVR25 to get 25% off your first purchase when you do. They are really great. Speaking of also what's really great, DMVR is really great. You should check it out. Become a member right now. If you use the promo code CAMP2021 for Broncos training camp, you get an annual membership and a $60 gift card.
Yeah.
The annual membership is $59.88. You are literally giving you money. Like
winning.
Winning, as Trey is saying. So go check it out. You get to use that gift card in our merch store, get some new shirts. And might I add, there's going to be some new gear coming in soon. Whoa. Exciting.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. So, Vote, you could probably see all the models right there on that computer right now.
I can. Also, unrelated, but D-Line's got a lot of snacks going on.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was a cashew almond pistachio guy, but every
day. He needs to snack while creating amazing merch. As you could tell, everyone on the show is wearing a shirt except Vote.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
but Vote's the rock and a hat.
Not wearing a shirt might be better than this shirt. Like, definitely buy our shirts, just not this one.
That's a horrible choice, Rudo. What are you doing?
Well, I still think we have some of those. So if you want one, I wouldn't suggest not.
Cardinals fans in the chat, Vote should be wearing this shirt. So he's a Cardinals.
It honestly looks so good on Rudo, though, right now, that it's really like, I'm so pissed at Nolan. We could do the whole first segment over again.
Okay. I was laughing at Max saying, like, if you have Nolan Arenado on your team and you still can't win, I was like, oh, that's awkward.
Yeah. Well, looking at you, Say Lewis.
It's okay. He's going to walk next year anyway. So
he's going to go to the Dodgers. Like, I'm just waiting for him to go sign with the Dodgers.
Remember when we would just kick Vote off of the show whenever he was behind his, like, Cardinals flag? We'd just be like, bye.
It's you're the gone. Only decoration I had in my apartment. Turns out that's not what Spano was looking for. Makes sense.
All right. Well, all of that to say, go be a member at thedmvr.com. You get all of our great content. You get merch. You get to enjoy all of us. You get to come down to the DMVR bar, and you get free or really big beers, and there's giveaways, and there's all these great things. So definitely join and become a member at thedmvr.com. All right. Let's jump in to the Nuggets Vote. They had free agency and the draft going on. Will Barton is back. But dad is gone. Happiness, sadness. Yeah, thumbs up, thumbs down. Vote, tell us a few of your favorite moves that have happened over the past few weeks for the Nuggets.
Yeah, I mean, look, I can see a certain angle on this has permeated the discourse online, which is, you know, you got to be aggressive and the Nuggets weren't. And, you know, there was a cap space reality to what Denver could do. And I'm not even just talking about frugal ownership. You can go over the cap and closer to that tax apron to retain your own guys. You can't dip into that threshold to bring new players in. And so what the Nuggets actually didn't have is a lot of flexibility to get much better. What was on the table was the opportunity to get much worse if both Jermichael Green and Will Barton walked away. So they really threaded the needle. I mean, they kept Barton around, but it's a two-year deal, two-year 36. So even if you're someone who's not as high on Barton or doesn't like the idea of 3-4 years to a seemingly injury-prone player, at least of late, that's not really the – Denver didn't handcuff themselves that way. He's here this year when they definitely need him without Jamal. And then next year it's a fat expiring contract for a quality player. So if you have to move on, if you have an opportunity to get another star, Will Barton helps in that regard as well. So I just think Denver did really well to just say, look, we have a chance to keep the band together. That team was really good after the trade deadline. And that was, they were very clear from the end of the season that that was their goal, was to run it back if they could. So I love what they did. Losing Paul Millsap is more sad than it hurts. Yeah. It was the right move at this point, I think, to move on. They have so many power forwards on the roster, but that was the downside to the day. Is look, Paul Millsap. It's such a bummer that that group didn't get to make that run, because they were good enough to make it to the finals, if not win the finals. And it was an ending to a tenure in Denver that I think would have been very fitting for Millsap. And I just hope people look back at it and go, okay, there were some injuries and they never did win that chip. But from the second Paul Millsap got here, the defense, the professionalism, the culture, the trajectory, just it got even steeper in the right direction for this organization. And I hope folk remember that. So shout out dad.
He brought a lot. He was just a really great leader. And you could tell that everyone on that team really loved Paul Millsap. And so it's definitely more of like a just in the fan base to see him go. But I agree, it definitely was the right move. What about Austin Rivers? Are you excited to see him back this next year?
Yeah, I was prepared not to. Yeah. I definitely thought he might. I don't know what he was or wasn't offered or anything, but it certainly looks like he took the minimum contract from Denver, and that surprised me a little. I thought maybe he'd played himself into more money in that playoff run, but that he wants to be in Denver, that Denver said, hey, we have space for you, not surprising. The way he came in, the way he committed himself to that culture, the way he helped them win a playoff game that they probably don't win without his fourth quarter explosion, it just makes sense. I mean, he's the kind of guy they need depth while Murray's out. And look, if you have to move on from Austin Rivers when he comes back, if that rotation changes, then so be it. At that price point, what'd you really risk? And at the very least, it's a guy that you know, okay, he'll come in here, he'll act the right way, he'll say the right things. You know, he'll be the type of Denver Nugget that we're trying to house here. So makes sense. And I wonder if he'll play. The big question, I think, with the bench is who is the backup small forward?
Yeah.
They could do a couple things. They could go big and Zeke Nagy could play alongside Jeff Green. Or it could be Austin Rivers at the two. PJ Dozier plays up a position and plays small forward. I wonder if that's the route they'll go. But adding Austin gives them that flexibility.
I know he won't be back till towards the end of the season, but is the return of Jamal Murray really the biggest move for the Nuggets to make for 2022?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I personally think it would be madness to actively go away from what they had built and put together after the trade deadline. That injury has took it away from them. You know, that's the way this cookie crumbles sometimes. And sometimes you do have to audible, but they have an opportunity to just say, no, we can just bring Murray back. Even if he's less than 100%, these five guys are good enough. And that's been their target from the jump.
And then the NBA draft happened, and the Nuggets selected Bones Highland, which he has such a great – that's his nickname.
But you can call him Bones. He'll answer to Bones, and that just makes me so happy.
He answers to Bones. He loves Denver. He's doing a really great job of, like, grabbing the fan base to, like, fall in love with him. He is so hyped to be coming to Colorado, and you just love to see that from your draft pick. What do you think of him? Was he someone that was on your list of guys for the Nuggets to select?
Well, he was on my radar as someone they would select. Harrison Wynn really made sure we all knew it was someone the team liked and might take. I didn't have him on my big board, but, you know, that's the thing about the draft is you have all these takes, you put all this work into it, and then it happens, and you have to be willing to crumble it up and throw it away because was I right? About some of the guys I had ahead of him it was more of an archetype thing. Jaden Springer, Miles McBride, some defensively oriented guards because they do need some defense. But there's sort of an irony to being like, okay, well, defense, this will help the team right away. Sure, but Jaden Springer, for example, he's 18 years old. He's not going to play right away. So I'm sitting there saying draft for fit, and that's not how a lot of teams do it. A lot of teams just take the best player available, and I think that's how Denver viewed Bone. So it's a fun pick. It's an exciting pick. Does it fill a hole right away? No. But let's hold out and see. You know, maybe this is a guy that RJ Hampton type of utility insofar as, okay, he wasn't a part of the rotation plan. A couple people get hurt. We can go to him. Or, as we saw with RJ, he plays, he looks exciting enough, flashy enough that he becomes an asset for a potential trade deal as well. So I don't mind the pick at all. I'm really excited to see him in summer league. This guy, he's like a step back bomb from the logo 3-point shooter. He is a fun watch, if nothing else.
Dre, you are our go-to draft guy. How did you feel about the pick?
Yeah, it was an interesting draft. I was really kind of hoping that Garuba would drop to them. And when that didn't happen, I was a bit meh. But no, the more I found out about Bones and then after free agency happened, I like the pick more because if you're going to run it back, having a little more scoring punch in your back pocket for that second unit, I think could be incredibly valuable. And then, you know, if you get wild and you start to fantasize what a guy with that shooting range, if he can be he can be good enough to warrant actually going on an NBA floor night in and night out, what that could do could be very fun because it's, you know, we analyze and we stack these boards and we try to, you know, it's humans handicapping humans, one of the more futile exercises we can partake in and what I've dedicated my life to. So, but you know, it's so we can get caught up in all that, but then some guys are way more exciting than others. And on the excitement meter, Bones ranks very highly. And yeah, I mean, if he were to pan out as a Lou Williams type scorer,
right.
could be pretty cool for a team that already has some transcendent offensive talents.
And as far as it being maybe like risky, Dre, with what, like, you know, he's not the tallest guard. Obviously, you know, the turnover right. to assist numbers weren't great in college, although we could talk about, you know, why that was the case all day right. long. But as far as the risk goes, the reality is even if you're taking a safe player, a Zeke Nnaji type of player, mm-hmm. I am aiming to be a playable back end rotation guy. At 26, the chances it's a bust, right? The chances it's just never really a high caliber rotation player, pretty high, pretty significant. Absolutely. So, you know, it's in hindsight, it's such a Tim thing to do. He's flashy. It's sexy. He's a hooper. And the ceiling is probably higher, right, than the guys that I had on my big board. And right. Tim's going to roll those dice.
All right. Before we finish up the show, I got to tell you guys about Solace Meds. They are a premier dispensary. They've got four locations, one right east of the DMVR bar up on East Colfax, literally so close. Vote's pointing out at it since he's at the bar. And then they've got another one in Wheat Ridge, one in Fort Collins, and one off of Broadway. They have some really great deals. Kale was having a Solace bar himself during the grand opening of the grand opening 2.0, and he had a great night. If you head into any location, you can get a free Solace bar or King Cone when you mention the code DNVR 20. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure I found it.
We got it.
That's any location of Solace Meds. Head in and mention that code. You can also order online. Ordering online makes things so much easier because your order will be ready once you get there. And then all you got to do is pick it up and go home or go to a park or wherever you like to smoke your weed and have some good time. Don't forget to use that code DNVR20 at Solace Meds. Okay, Dre. Let's talk some Broncos training camp before we do rapid fire on best nicknames in Denver. It is day. They had an off day today. Broncos had an off day today, but they have gone 7 days of practice. Pads are back on. And the QB competition seems like it's even right now, which I know fans don't really want to hear that. But there's been days where Drew looks really good. There's days where he looks bad. He's throwing interceptions. And so he said yesterday he needs to be making smarter decisions. And then there's other days that Teddy looks the same or doesn't look as good. And that's something that Ryan has been saying on the DMVR Broncos podcast, that it looks like right now it's Drew's job to lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 'twould appear that we have a bit of a tie. And in a tie, usually you'd go to the younger guy with the perceived higher upside. And it certainly seems like Drew kind of came in hot. And Teddy was very much as advertised, kind of Mr. Checkdown. Yeah. Bridgewater's picked it up a little more to kind of even things out. And it would appear that since we've gone to pads, both quarterbacks middling a little bit, right? Yeah. So especially yesterday where it appears practice ended the way many games ended with the offense not doing much, and falling flat on its face. So I really think, you know, preseason's going to be so huge this year because it comes down so much to like, who's going to be able to keep their cool under pressure and not put them in bad spots. And if Drew can do that enough, he's not going to have to be as mistake-free as Teddy because he can make up for some of those mistakes with some of the bigger plays. But he's still, you know, we can't have a repeat of last year. So it's been interesting to see how both guys are kind of navigating this and particularly how Drew's going to navigate being, you know, picking his spots. It's all about picking his spots.
And some of those mistakes that Drew is making is because he's playing hero ball, as our DMVR Broncos guides would say it. Yeah. He really wants to make those big flashy plays, and it's just, it doesn't work out, and it looks extra bad. And there's a few people in the comments of the DMVR Broncos show yesterday saying they're pretty sure that's similar to how he was in Mizzou, but right now he needs to focus more on ball protection and making those smarter plays, which he knows himself, but I feel like that's when he really goes wrong, is just trying to be the hero and make a really dope flashy play, and just doesn't work out the right way.
100%, Allie. It's all situational football. It's knowing when do we need that extra play and when do I just need to throw it away. The punt is the best play this team can have. And that's where Teddy's going to have a real advantage. I mean, Fangio for a couple of years now has built a defense first team that right now has on paper what could be a really extraordinary unit, maybe even a top three unit. And so if the offense is just competent, you'd think they could be really competitive in a lot of games. And Teddy gives you that. That's what he does. And for as much as you'd want to see more flash, more sexiness from your quarterback, he really fits kind of the criteria you need to win with a defense first team.
Yeah. Yeah. We did this poll with some of the live audience that we had on Saturday. So I want to ask you guys, vote Rudo, Mac, who would you guys prefer be the Broncos starting quarterback? Like, who do you think? Not who do you think, who would you want? Rudo, you go first.
Drew Lock or Teddy. Take the young kid. Yeah. You're going to live with the ups and downs a little bit, but you got to give him every opportunity to become the guy you think he can be.
Yeah.
Vote. Yeah, he's the investment, right? And Teddy's the backup plan. So you want plan A to work if I can choose. If it's up to old B-Rad, I'm taking Drew.
B-Rad. You got to pick one, man.
Love that.
Look, I've been a Broncos fan for my entire life. I left the hospital in a John Elway jersey. Okay. I didn't even get a baby blanket. It was a John Elway jersey. And I'm almost as frustrated with the Broncos as I am with the Rockets.
That's saying something.
We don't, just so you know, we don't have that kind of time remaining.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I mean, I don't like either of them. I don't think either of them are going to be the quarterback of the future. But I guess if I have to pick one, I agree with everyone else, and I'll pick Drew Lock, just because, God help us, if he doesn't work out, that's another like three seasons wasted down the drain. So let's hope Drew Lock can be the guy.
And that's what everyone at the bar also said. Everyone preferred Drew Lock.
Yeah.
So we'll see where this ends up going and how. I think what's really hard is having them split these reps. I just want them to make a decision so that they can figure out, like, if Drew's the guy, like, you got to put him in with the ones and have that experience as much as he can before the season starts. Because we have also seen Drew, he has gotten better at the end of the season the last 2 years. So if it's that time and that experience and that mentality that he needs to, like, work on, then you got to have him getting those first team reps. But
you're here.
But it is what it is right now with the Broncos. As Michaela said, they're also another frustrating organization. And hopefully this year is different. But we'll just have to wait and see. Dre, is your pick Drew Lock as well?
Yeah, Drew Lock all day. I was just trying
I assumed.
Of the teams we cover, how many fall on? If you could do a graph, how many are below the frustration line? I think we're four of six. You're under the frustration line. If you extend it to the college sports.
The pro sports, Avs and Nuggets, they're fun. They're exciting. Sometimes you're like, huh, that was weird.
Even good teams find a way to frustrate you, though. Well, sports. Yeah.
You can say that again, for sure.
Okay, let's move on to the best nicknames in Denver sports. We are going to start off with you, Rudo. What is the best nickname in Avs history?
In Avs history, it's Fapa. I know it's a boring nickname and people don't like it that much, but it is made significantly better when you understand that Forsberg is a very common name in Sweden, and you get to name all of the other Forsbergs Fopa because there's only one Fapa. As consolation, Big Moose is excellent.
Big Moose.
Moose, pretty
I like Big Moose. I like Big Moose better than the nickname Man Rocket, which Nate gave Landy. I personally would just prefer Big Moose. It's a lot cuter nickname. All right. This topic is obviously brought to us because of Bones Highland. Bones. And so Bones is a pretty great nickname. Vo, is there any other nickname that stands out to you in Nuggets history?
Yeah, there are so many. There are so many.
Yeah.
I would say
we've made TikToks about this too, so go check those out.
I mean, this is well before my time. I've always thought I've always loved Skywalker, David Thompson. I think that's gotta be number one.
Amazing.
But just, you know, for the more modern Nuggets fan, which I myself am. I think Big Honey is tremendous.
Oh my God, that's a classic.
The Manimal was always great. The Manimal. We started calling Monte Morris Mr. Nugget, which is a title that we're going to pass down to the, you know, the fan, that fan favorite, not the best player on the team, but like the Monte's the culture guy, man. Like Monte's the team, the fan's connection to this team. And he's friends with everyone on the team. So we've been pushing that pretty good.
Nice. A lot of self-authored ones. That's a first. I like that.
My favorites is definitely Birdman. That one's just a classic.
Yeah, Birdman, of course. I left that one out. I'm probably forgetting someone else. Big Tom, of course. Tom Welsh, Nuggets legend. But no, those are my favorites.
All right, Michaela, what about the Rockies?
There are so many too. Surprisingly, they have one good thing going for them. They have a lot of good nicknames. obviously, Baby Bull, Will Rosario is a classic. The Todd Father, Todd Helton, which is probably my favorite. Andreas Galarraga, Big Cat. Never forget the Big Cat. And then more recently, some of the newer guys like Chuck Napsy for Charlie Blackman. John Gray is the Gray Wolf, which I think is pretty nice.
Yeah.
And El Cangrejo for Raimel Tapia. So lots of good ones to pick from. For me, it's a toss-up between Big Cat and Todd Father. I think those names are classic, but thankfully, yes, thank you, Tim. Big Cat is a great nickname. I can say something nice about the Rockies today, you guys.
Yay! We found a happy moment.
What about units like the Bronx Bombers? That's a great nickname.
Oh, like whole team.
Whole teams. Yes.
The Long Boys. That would be a hard
one. That is also another
self-authored. Can't help myself.
What the people love that nickname. I was going to say the nickname
is probably Lake Street Bombers for the
Is there an Avs one, Rudo? Is there just like a line?
There have been a lot of lines over the years. The most famous one is probably the AMP line. Alex, Milan, and Peter.
The three-headed monster. Come on now.
Yeah, three-headed monster is the current one.
We have like a shirt.
We sell it.
Buy the shirt. Buy that shirt. Buy the three-headed monster shirt.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from on that one, Ellie.
Come on, man. Andre, what about the Broncos?
Well, again, sticking to units, I think the Orange Crush may be the best of the best. Mm. I mean, right there with Skywalker. Okay, good. Yeah, and I'm going in and out. This is excellent.
You're good.
The no fly zone I would also put up there.
Maybe it's the DNVR Wi-Fi.
It is.
Yeah, it probably is. See, I think the no fly zone also deserves to be up there.
100%.
We just had a comment, and you have to mention Rich Tombstone Jackson. Have to. That's phenomenal. You know, Jake the Snake Plumber, that's for people like me, 80s kids. It's a feel-good name. You enjoy that one. The Sheriff, I enjoy the Sheriff for Peyton.
Call him the Sheriff, though?
Oh, yeah.
I was big on the Sheriff.
Okay.
Probably not to his face. I don't know if he would go up to Peyton Manning and be Sheriff. Like, Sheriff.
Scott Parker is the Sheriff in this town, all right? There can only be one.
Wow. Wow. I'm also partial to the Smiling Assassin. LA's had a lot of different nicknames. Frankly, I think they're all disrespectful. Aside from the Duke, which fine, I don't care for it, but the Duke.
He's just
fine.
Elway.
Elway's he's Elway. Just Elway.
Did you say the franchise already? Sorry if you did.
No, I did not. I did not. And I was going to say that it's the lamest of them all, but TD for Terrell Davis, as he was doing nothing but scoring touchdowns on people left and right, and then would mile high salute you in your face as we won back-to-back Super Bowls. To me, that whole, that just fits so nicely. It's his initials. He's scoring a bunch of touchdowns. He's the best player in the league, and he's saluting you every time. To me, TD makes the most sense. Orange Crush would be right up there as well.
Those are some good ones. I do like the connection of TD making TDs.
Right?
What would everyone's DNVR nickname be? Dre, you have like five. Dre.
No, yeah. Well, Dre primarily.
Yeah. That would be. Yeah. Rudo, you already have one. Matt, Rudo, already yeah. Have one. Allie, we gotta get something going.
Yeah. People call me Al.
Al Dog.
I'm partial to Al Dog. Big fan of Al Dog.
Andre and Lindsay call me Al Dog, or people just call me Al.
I was thinking about calling you Mother, but that could get weird real quick.
No, not a fan.
I am the mom of the Avs pod.
Yeah. Already the Avs mom of the
Avs pod mom is the nickname that the Avs guys or the chat has named me, because I'm definitely in the comments being kicking anyone out that's being disrespectful or annoying or rude. Same with I freaking yelled at Argentinian fans in Spanish.
You did do that. Thank you for that. Because
Ellie is everybody's mom. Without Ellie, the wheel falls flying so fast.
If you're here in the comments and speak Spanish, I didn't just yell at Argentinian fans, Facu fans, for nothing. They're being so disrespectful and rude about the Nuggets, about our guys, and about everything, and saying very mean things that I was just like, y'all don't think someone understands what you're saying, but I do. Yeah. You are being blocked.
We need to hire someone that speaks Serbian now is what we need.
we have to like ask the comments. We're like, we appreciate the international dynamic. We don't know what you're saying. Yeah. We would like to engage with you.
I think we should invest in a Serbian Rosetta Stone for votes. So vote.
There you go.
Spano.
It is happening.
Vote. Right. What's yours? What's your preferred nickname?
Oh, I already told B-Rad. You. B-Rad.
B-Rad.
B-Rad's an all-time.
I've never heard anyone call him B-Rad in our company. But
I'm 28 years old now, so I don't know. In college, though, but they did call me B-Rad.
You called yourself B-Rad at this point.
I had an old habit. I did forget I was on the internet live when it just kind of slipped out.
I love it.
But
when's your new album dropping, B-Rad?
Yeah,
B-Rad.
Yeah, man. Seriously, for four years in college, people called me B-Rad, probably more than they said Brendan. And then I got out into the real world, and you know, you start introducing yourself to people, and you very quickly, you know, I'm gonna go with my given name. I
think. Well, everyone in our company just calls you Vote, but I will now be calling you B-Rad.
B-Rad, it is. Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
All right, guys, this was a great show. Thank you for hanging out with us, and we will catch you guys next week. Like I said, the podcast will most likely be recorded on Thursdays now, just because we've got a lot going on Fridays. But we've got UFC this weekend at the bar. It's going to be so much fun. A lot of the DMVR fam will, of course, be down there having a great time. And make sure to follow us on all social media. We've got a Twitter account for all of the beats, as well as our DNVR_ sports. And then we've got a TikTok, Instagram, and of course, follow everyone here as Michaela's showing her name. Follow Mac. But yeah, thanks, guys, and we will see you guys next week.